We're turning to God's Word this evening to Acts chapter 16. Once again, I'm delighted to see so many here this evening, and we pray that the Lord will once again come and speak to all of our hearts. I'd like to thank you for coming. Do remember the meetings this week. Tomorrow night, in the will of the Lord, I want to preach on the subject, Satan's opposition to sinners that are interested in the gospel. So do remember that special meeting and pray for us and bring others in to hear the precious word of God. Tonight I want to preach on the subject very simply entitled, The Night the Jailer Saw the Light. Take a look there with me at Acts chapter 16 and the verse 29. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Amen. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer, and let us pray for the Lord's help as we come to consider this subject tonight. Father in heaven, we do thank thee and praise thee for your help given in past nights. And yet, Lord, we're so conscious that this is a new night. And Lord, how we need thee to come afresh and touch our lives again. Oh God, we pray that you'll touch our lips with a live coal from off the altar. We pray, Lord, that you'll fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. And oh God, we pray for those in the meeting who are not saved. We ask the Lord that you would speak to them. Oh God, that again you would strive with them. And Lord, that in this meeting tonight, you would reach down and snatch brands from the burning. We do pray, Lord, that you would defeat the devil. We're so conscious of his devices. But, O God, we thank thee that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We plead the blood tonight. And, O God, we pray that you would be pleased, Lord, this night to glorify your Son through the salvation of precious souls. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Many people tell us today that there's no need for men and women to experience the new birth. And yet the plain teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we found out last night, states, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If this was the only text in God's word that emphasized this truth, then it would be enough. But, you know, as you search through the scriptures of truth, not only do we have clear statements like this statement that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to Nicodemus, but throughout the Word of God, there are many wonderful conversions which also point to the necessity of being saved by the grace of God. Indeed, time and time again throughout the Word of God, we have examples of men and women coming to Christ and finding God's eternal redemption. And again tonight, we have one such wonderful conversion before us. In Acts chapter 16, we have the conversion of the Philippian jailer. And what a tremendous portion of scripture we have here. Paul and Silas had been cast into prison for preaching the gospel, for serving the Lord. The Bible tells us at midnight, they began to sing and praise the Lord. And the Bible tells us that there was a great earthquake. And the Philippian jailer, who had been asleep throughout all this, awoke. And he was just about to kill himself because he thought that all the prisoners had fled. Because when the earthquake came, the Bible tells us that the prison doors were open. And just at that point, Paul cried unto him, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And he ran over. And there and then, falling down before Paul and Silas, he cried out, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And of course, God's servants had the great joy of pointing him to Christ. And that night, in the prison cell, the prison house, the jailer was gloriously and wondrously saved by the grace of God. My friend, that's our prayer for you tonight. I pray this evening, although you may have come into the meeting unsaved, I pray that even before this meeting goes out into eternity, that you will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Because you can tonight experience salvation through the Lord Jesus. And I pray tonight that God the Holy Spirit will take such a dealing with your heart that even like the jailer in our portion of Scripture, you will cry out, "What must I do to be saved?" As we come at the close of the meeting tonight to consider the circumstances surrounding the conversion of the Philippian jailer, there's a number of things, very simply, again tonight, that I want you to notice. And it's our purpose, night by night, to preach the gospel as simply as we know how. I pray this evening that God will write His word upon your heart, especially if you're found here and you're not saved by the grace of God. Notice with me, first of all, the condition of the jailer that night. Now, of course, when I speak about the condition of the jailer that night, I'm speaking about his spiritual condition before God. Now, verses 23, 24, and 27 show us clearly what the Philippian jailer's spiritual condition before God was that night. From these verses, we learn that the jailer's spiritual condition was that he was a lost sinner. When you study these texts of Scripture, you find out that this Philippian jailer had no thought of God and no respect for the servants of God. Take a look at verse 23 and 24. It says, "And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." Here we have an individual, and he had no respect for God, no respect for God's servants, no respect for the ministers and the preachers and the missionaries that had been sent his way. The Bible tells us here that he thrust them into the inner prison, that he put their feet fast in the stocks. Here is an individual, and he is a totally unregenerated man, because he has no respect and no love and no concern for the servants of the Lord. He was a man who didn't fear God whatsoever. He was a sinner of the deepest dye. There was no religion in this man whatsoever. Now, it's a quite of a contrast, considering the individual that we were looking at last night, Nicodemus. Well, he was full of religion. But here is an individual who was totally ungodly. And you know, when you study this portion of Scripture, and when you study these texts of Scripture here before us, you find out that he had no fear of eternity. No fear of eternity. Look what it says there in verse 27. It says this, "And the keeper of the prison, the jailer, awakening out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself." Notice that. He was going to kill himself. He was going to commit suicide. At this point in the story, the devil had this man blinded to his need. The devil had this man blinded to the truth. The devil had this man blinded to the consequences of his sin. Because the truth is, men and women, if this man had taken his life at this point, he would have gone out into hell itself. He didn't think about eternity. He had no thought about dying and about what was beyond the grave. Here was an individual, and up until this point in the story, his mind is closed to the truth of the gospel and the consequences of his sin. Now, the devil had so blinded this individual, he had no thought about where he was going to spend the great eternity. I wonder, as we are gathered here tonight, I wonder, is there someone here this evening? And this description here describes you. This condition here describes you. Certainly, if you're not saved, the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Like the jailer, you have no thought of God. You have no respect for God's servants. And as far as eternity is concerned, you have no thought about where you're going to spend eternity. Oh, my friend, I pray this evening that the Lord will so work in your heart and so speak to your soul that even this evening you will come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. You know, the Bible describes us, each and every one of us that has been born into this world, we have been born in sin and shapen in iniquity. You know, when Paul was writing to the Christians at Ephesus, he reminded them of what they used to be before they were saved. Just turn over to Ephesians chapter 2 for a moment. Here we have described the spiritual condition of each and every one that's born into this world. Paul here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says this in Ephesians 2 verse 1, "And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." And look at verse 12. "That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world." You know, those texts there describe every person that's born into this world. They describe you tonight if you're found here and you're not saved. You're dead in trespasses and in sins. You're without God and without hope and without Christ in this world. My friend, I pray this evening that the Holy Spirit will reveal unto you your spiritual condition before God. The Bible tells us that there is none righteous. No, not one. And until you see your spiritual condition before God, you will never have a desire to be saved. You will never come to a knowledge of sins forgiven. And that's why we have these meetings. And that's why we seek to preach the gospel. And that's why we seek to present God's precious, precious word, that men and women might see themselves as God sees them. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what I think about you. It doesn't matter what your family thinks about you. It doesn't matter what your neighbor thinks about you. What does God think about you tonight? As God looks down and he sees a soul that's unsaved, he sees a heart that's black with sin, he sees someone who has never repented of their sin and by faith accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, he sees a life that's lost, a soul that's lost, a life that's heading towards disaster. My friend, I pray this evening that the Lord will take such a dealing with your heart that you will see yourself as God sees you. And even tonight, that you will realize that you have sinned and that you are a sinner by nature and by practice. And that even as you see yourself the sinner, that you will call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Now, turn back to Acts chapter 16, because there's something else I want you to notice. Not only the condition of the jailer that night, but I want you to notice the concern of the jailer that night. All of a sudden, the Philippian jailer is concerned about his soul. Take a look there at verse 29. It says, "Then he called for a light and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" For the first time in his life, he inquires after God's salvation. He says here, "What must I do to be saved?" And a woman, I want you to stop and think about what is happening here in the life of the Philippian jailer. One minute, he has no thought of God, no respect for God's servants, and no fear of eternity. And then the next minute, he's trembling, falling down before Paul and Silas, and he's wanting to know how to be saved. What has brought about this great concern in the jailer to inquire after salvation? Well, there's only one answer to that question, and it's this. God is beginning to deal with him. The Lord has put the concern in his heart. The Lord has caused him to tremble. The God of heaven has caused him to cry out, "What must I do to be saved?" That's the only explanation
And my friend, that is the explanation. One minute he was about to take his life and plunge himself out into hell. And the next minute, he's calling upon God for salvation. He's inquiring about God's eternal redemption. Well, I wonder, is there someone in this meeting tonight, and you've been attending these meetings, and the Lord has spoken to you? Perhaps you've come into this mission initially with no concern about your soul and no thought about the great eternity. And yet, as the Lord has spoken to you and as the Word of God has gone forth, you now have a concern for your soul. I pray that you will have a concern. And if you haven't had a concern up until now, that even right now, that the Lord will speak to you and give you a concern for your eternal soul. Oh, I pray this evening that the Holy Spirit will so work in your heart that, like the Philippian jailer, you will begin to tremble. Oh, please learn a number of lessons here. If you are concerned, the Lord is speaking to you. But notice this, if you are concerned, then you need to come to Christ now, because that concern that you have now may not always be there. The Bible says, indeed the Lord says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And what a solemn truth that is. What a solemn truth that is. And the truth is this, that you could be trembling tonight, thinking about hell and thinking about eternity and thinking about death and thinking about meeting God. You could be trembling tonight, thinking about all those things. But tomorrow or next week, you may not tremble. You may not even give God a thought. You may not even give your soul a thought. You know, we have a wonderful example of that over in the book of Acts in the chapter 27. Just turn over to Acts chapter 27 for a moment, because in that portion of Scripture, we're introduced to an individual by the name of Felix. Acts chapter 24, rather. We're introduced to an individual by the name of Felix. And here, the Apostle Paul is preaching to Felix, and he is exhorting Felix to turn from his sin. Indeed, Felix invited Paul to preach to him. Look at verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Priscilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. What a privilege Felix had to hear the gospel, to hear about the Lord Jesus, how Christ had died and rose again. You know, the Bible tells us here, as he listened to the gospel and as Paul preached to him, that Felix started to tremble. It says in verse 25, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. So here we have another individual trembling. We have just read that the Philippian jailer trembled when he thought about his soul being lost and going out into eternity. Here's another man trembling. Felix. But you know, Felix made a very serious decision, because Felix decided that he could get saved whenever he wanted to. He would make his peace with God whenever he desired. Look what he says at the end of verse 25. Go thy way for this time. When I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee. But he never had a more convenient season. And although he spoke to Paul after this incident, he never trembled again. He never trembled again. And my friend, if the Lord is speaking to you tonight, which I believe He is, I believe that there are those in this mission and the Lord has spoken to personally and powerfully. Indeed, as the services have gone on, the Lord has drawn very near to some and revealed unto them their sin, and revealed unto them the consequences of dying in their sin, and revealed unto them the only Savior, that Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here tonight, and perhaps at the beginning of the mission, you had no concern whatsoever. You were indifferent to the things of God, just like the Philippian jailer. But as the mission has gone on, you've got that concern now. The Lord is definitely speaking to you. and you're beginning to tremble within your own heart, thinking of the great eternity and thinking about going out and meeting God unprepared, that's the time to seek the Lord. That's the time to turn from your sin. That's the time to turn to the Lord and seek salvation. Because tomorrow, like Felix, you may not be trembling. You may not have that concern. If you say to God tonight, tomorrow I'll get saved. Next week I'll get saved. Then the Lord may not speak to you tomorrow or next week. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You might say to me, preacher, go thy way for this time. When I have a more convenient season, I'll call for thee. But that time may not come. Oh, there comes a time we know not when, a place we know not where, that seals the destiny of men for glory or despair. There is a line unseen of men that crosses every path, the hidden boundary between God's mercy and God's wrath. Today, if ye hear his voice, harden not your heart. Oh, you can see the condition that he was in that night. At the beginning of the night, no respect for God's servants, no thought of God, no fear of eternity. And then all of a sudden, the Lord begins to work in his heart, and he has a concern. And he runs over to Paul and Silas, and he cries out, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Oh, is there someone here tonight? And that's the cry of your heart. Preacher, what must I do to be saved? Is that the cry of your soul this evening? What must I do to be saved? Look with me, thirdly, at the conversion of the jailer that night. This man got saved. Glory to God. He found the Savior, and he was gloriously brought right through for Christ. Here we see him coming out of the darkness and into the light. You'll notice that the jailer was saved that night when he trusted Christ alone for salvation. What does Paul say to him? He says this, verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The apostle here points the jailer to a person. Not to the church, but to a person. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, friend, the Lord Jesus is the only one that can save you tonight. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. What does it mean to believe? Well, to believe means the same thing as receive. The Bible says, for as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Therefore, when Paul told the Philippian jailer to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, what he was actually telling him to do was to receive Christ into his heart as his own and personal Savior. How do you receive Christ into your heart? By faith. The Bible says, For by faith are you saved through grace, and not of yourselves. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What is faith? Faith is forsaking all and trusting Christ. My friend, that's what the Philippian jailer did that night. By faith, he trusted the Lord Jesus as his own and personal Savior. And he was gloriously and wondrously saved for time and for eternity. You'll notice that the jailer was saved instantaneously that night. The very moment, the very second he called upon the Lord, he was saved. Immediately the jailer believed on the Lord Jesus, he was converted for time and for eternity. You know, friend, that's a wonderful truth. That if you this night were to call upon the Lord and ask him into your heart as your Savior to cleanse you from your sin, if you tonight would repent of your sin and by faith accept him as your Savior, you could leave this meeting redeemed for time and for eternity. You see, we can see the urgency of God's salvation here, because you'll notice that the jailer there and then ran over to Paul and Silas, and he cried out, what must I do to be saved? You know, the old jailer could have said to himself, well, now I'll wait until Paul and Silas are in this prison house again. And when they come back this way, I'll inquire after salvation. No, it was an urgent matter, and he knew it was an urgent matter. And Paul and Silas, they realized it was an urgent matter as well, because they had told the jailer there and then how to be saved. They could have said to him, now listen, there's no point in rushing into this. When we're back in Philippi again, we'll look you up, we'll come to where you live, and we'll point you to the Lord. We want you to think about it for a while. Go home and read the scriptures for a few months, and then we'll deal with this matter of God's salvation. But they didn't do that. There and then, they emphasized to him the necessity of being born again, the urgency of coming to Christ, right there and then. And my friend, salvation's an urgent matter. You need to deal with it now. You need to deal with it tonight. And if you do, you can leave this place on your way to heaven. You can leave this place with all your sins forgiven. You can leave this place with the assurance that you're born again of the Spirit of God. You know, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. The jailer's life was radically changed that night. Radically changed. Take a look with me there at verse 33. It says, and he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized. Look at verse 34. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. His life was changed. He was changed inwardly. The Holy Spirit had entered into him, because he was rejoicing in the Lord. And not only was his life changed inwardly, his life was changed outwardly. At the beginning of the story, he was taking Paul and Silas and whipping them and putting their feet fast in the stocks and thrusting them into the inner prison. But now what is he doing? He's converted now. He's bringing them out of the prison. He's washing their stripes and he's setting meat before them. See the change in his life? And that's what happens when someone gets saved. That's what happens when someone is converted. Their life is changed for time and for eternity. Has your life been changed? Are you rejoicing in the Lord tonight? Do you know sins forgiven? Are you sure that you are on your way to heaven? You see, this man had the assurance that he was saved. Do you have that assurance this evening? Oh, I pray tonight, if you have not, that you will come and trust the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Savior. And you know, you can leave this place with that assurance, because the Lord has promised, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of mine hand. Now there's just something else I want you to notice before we finish tonight. I want you to notice the consequences of the jailer coming to Christ for salvation. Take a look with me at verse 24. You'll notice here in the story, not only did he get saved, not only was his life changed, but his family's life was changed as well. Take a look at verse 34. It says, and when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Now, we're not told how many were in his house, but there were others in his house, other members of his family. This man's family got saved as well. You know, there's no knowing what will happen in your family if you got saved tonight. When I got saved, I was the first one that got saved in my family. And one by one, the Lord started to save them all in the household. Maybe you're saying tonight, preacher, I would love to be saved, but my husband's not saved, my wife's not saved, my family's not saved. And if I was to go and tell them tonight that I had become a Christian, they would only laugh at me. You don't know the difficulty that I would have in my home if I give my life to Christ. Well, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. The Christian life is not easy. It's not a bed of roses. The Lord doesn't promise us a bed of roses to heaven. But I'll tell you this, although salvation is not hereditary, God does bless families. And God will bless your family. Of that I have no doubt. And maybe there's no one saved in your home. But if you were to come tonight and give your life to the Lord, young person, the Lord could save your parents. Older person, the Lord could save your children. The Lord could do a work in your heart tonight that would spread into your family. You could be the means. You could be the means of bringing your whole family to the Lord. Oh, this man was converted. At the beginning of the story, he had no concern for his own soul. He had no respect. He was a total ungodly man. And then the Lord began to work. And the Lord spoke to him. And the Lord saved him. And he called upon the name of the Lord. He went away rejoicing. And his whole family came to know the Lord as well. What a change there was in that home. What a change. Do you want a change in your home tonight? Do you want your circumstances to be different? Maybe your home life is not what you would like it to be. Maybe there's problems and great difficulties there. My friend, my advice to you is let the Lord Jesus Christ into your home. Let Him into your heart first of all and bring Him into your home. He'll make the difference. He'll change your home, and you'll not know it. You'll not know it. But in order for that to happen, you've got to take the step of coming to Christ and trusting Him. Would you trust Him tonight? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let us all pray.
Let's just keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed. God has been speaking in the meeting. We have to emphasize the need to you, my sinner friend, to make good use of opportunities. And when the Lord passes by, and when the Spirit of God is striving, when Christ is calling, inviting, drawing near, that's the time to get saved. You may say, well, I'll come back tomorrow night when I've thought this through. I say to you, you are not in control of your circumstances. What if you were in hell tomorrow night? You could never think it through. You would regret not giving your heart to Christ tonight. You don't want to miss the opportunity. You'd want to make the best of it. And tonight is the night of salvation. This night, you who are unsaved in this house need to be saved. You need to become a Christian. You're not born a Christian, as we heard. It's not hereditary. You're not born into this world a Christian. You're born into this world a sinner. You must become a Christian. By new birth, born into the family of God, by conversion, that is, you're made a child of God and saved from your sin and converted to Christ. I wonder, has God spoken to your heart? Has the Lord troubled your soul? Is the Lord been speaking to you this past while? And here you are in a meeting like this tonight, still unsaved. Closer to hell than you were yesterday. Eternity looms. Heaven's door is wide open. All you have to do is by faith and repentance enter into Christ. You will be saved. If not, hell's gates are open just as wide to receive your immortal soul. And that fiery hand could at any moment reach out and claim its prize and its prey and pull it down into the caverns of the damned. But Christ can save you. He's died on the cross for you, shed His blood for you. He has paid the price for your sin. If you will look now to Him by faith and invite Him into your heart, into your life to be your Savior, and trust Him alone, He will save you. Life at best is very brief. It's like the falling of a leaf. That's why, sinner, you need to be in time. When the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. Tomorrow is too late. Today is the accepted time. Now is the day of your salvation. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, if you are anxious tonight, you would like to know something more of God's way of salvation and how you can be saved. The Reverend Gray will be at the door. Dr. Douglas and myself there present. If you want to speak to us, then feel free to do that. Reverend Gray will have some booklets with him, A New Beginning. If you're concerned and you would like a copy of that book, it's free. Just ask him at the door, could I have one of those booklets? He'll give you one. Read it carefully. It explains the way of salvation. And if you would like to speak with him tonight, well, we can take you into the ante rooms of the church and just open up the Bible and show you how you can and you must be saved. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the preaching of thy word, and we pray this evening for thy blessing to follow hard the preaching of the gospel. We ask, O God, that it will not fall by the wayside upon hard, stony ground. We pray, Lord, it will not fall upon stony ground, that ground that hath no depth of earth. We pray it will not be sown, O God, or fall among thorns, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things choking the seed. But, O God, we pray for thy word and the seed of the gospel to fall upon good soil and to bring forth fruit unto eternal life. Lord, save the lost. Part us now in thy fear and thy favour. Receive of our thanks for help given. And loving Father, answer prayer. We offer it in the Saviour's name. Amen.